So we're really pleased to welcome to the program today from Health Express Urgent Care, part of South Shore Health here in Quincy and across the South Shore, the head of the emergency department, Dr. Jason Tracy, also vice chair of emergency medicine and urgent care, Dr. Will Tollefson, and the director of emergency services, Eugene Duffy. So gentlemen, first of all, let me say thank you all for joining us. Really appreciate the opportunity to talk to you about this.
Absolutely. Thank you for giving this opportunity to talk about a topic near and dear to all of our hearts.
Maybe we should start, Dr. Tracy, with you if we can. And for folks here in Quincy who may not have experienced the Health Express Urgent Care Center yet, it's on the parking way right in Quincy Center. How long has it been there? Exactly where is it located and what does it do?
So you've absolutely gotten the address correct. We're right there in the center of Quincy, and over the last year plus, we've been in Quincy, and it's been a great site for us. And all traditional urgent care type complaints can be seen there by a specialty trained emergency provider. So we see anything from aches, sprains, cuts, bruises, rashes, coughs, colds, really things that you would normally go to a urgent care provider anywhere and or your primary care provider and you can't get access to, urgent care can do that. It's very different than an emergency department, which has a full a suite of services and consultants and imaging studies. But we generally try to reserve that emergency department care for really high acuity or sicker type complaints and or patients. And quite frankly, a lot of what's seen in the emergency department can be seen in a urgent care facility.
So the question I would ask is, what should you not go to an urgent care center for?
That's a great question. We try and say that if it's something that you would call an ambulance for, generally that is something that should go to the emergency department and not to urgent care. So when we start thinking about stroke-like conditions or things that are like a heart attack or significant trauma. Those are the things that we try to preserve for the emergency department. And our facilities are also always available to answer questions if it's not clear as to where somebody should go, in addition to a primary care provider who can offer advice on what is the best location. But if somebody is very sick, ill, it's an emergency condition that would require an ambulance, that is something that we should say should go to the emergency department.
So now you are head of emergency department. So is there an emergency department within Health Express, or is that part of the overall South Shore Health umbrella that we're talking about?
No, it's under the whole umbrella of South Shore Health. Within that, we have our emergency department in Weymouth. We see close to 100,000 patients a year of all age ranges with all conditions, trauma, stroke, cardiac conditions. But within that emergent, urgent services, we have our seven urgent care sites throughout the South Shore. And Dr. Tollefson is in charge of those facilities, including our Quincy facility.
Okay, so Dr. Tollefson, let me ask you, first of all, how has it been going at the Quincy Center?
It's been going great. The Quincy Center is seeing patients, urgent care patients. So we have the ability to do COVID testing within the South Shore Health Express umbrella. We offer rapid COVID tests as well as PCR samples that get sent out to labs as needed. I'd like to add that all of our staff at South Shore Health Express, our providers, are seasoned emergency department personnel who come and work at these facilities.
So
we've been able to handle I was going to say, we're able to handle everything that COVID's been sending us, in addition to our traditional urgent care services, breaks, sprains, coughs, colds, you know, all those things that Dr. Tracy just mentioned.
So is it a place where folks can just walk in, or is it an appointment only, or is it a little bit of both?
Well, right now it's actually a little bit of both. Traditionally, the urgent care center is a walk-in urgent care center. But with COVID and the need for testing, we have established a online process to schedule an appointment to get tested. It includes an online scheduling process, where at which point a patient would then be registered. We set them up with a quick telehealth visit to get an idea of what's going on, at which point we can recommend the most appropriate tests and then direct them to the particular site where we can obtain a sample.
Okay, and the website I know is healthexpressma.org. And now, can you schedule that at any one of your seven locations or just the Quincy Center?
Any one of the locations, that's a central scheduling. Again, based on the need of a particular test, there's several tests that we can offer. Like I mentioned, there's rapid testing. There's also the PCR testing that's available to our patients. That's where we can determine the most appropriate test and then send the patient to either one of our sites where we can do a drive-through swab, or have a patient come into the actual clinic for further evaluation.
Curious, have you seen, you know, an uptick in cases like we've seen across the state at your centers?
Yes,
we have. You know, Dr. Tracy can describe further what we've been seeing in the health system and the emergency department, but we've been seeing the same trends at the urgent care, particularly with a significant increase in the need for testing. And as that need for testing increases, so does the illness with patients who perhaps were close contacts or exposure concerns who needed testing, who then do become ill. So as the need for testing rises, the illness comes with that, as does the need for additional medical treatment and care throughout the entire spectrum of our health system, from urgent care all the way up through the hospital.
Dr. Tracy, you immediately chimed in yes, which tells me that it's been a noticeable increase.
Yes, and it's important for us to stress as clinicians who are on the front lines to just reiterate the importance of what we do as a community to try and limit this spread. It can seem abstract to folks. It's not abstract to us. This is very real to us. We had no cases over the summer. We had no patients in our critical care unit on ventilators throughout the summer. And we've had a steady uptick over the last number of weeks to the point that we do on any day are admitting multiple patients to the hospital with COVID-related conditions. We have had multiple patients in our intensive care unit who've required ventilators, and we're seeing multiple patients who re-present with COVID-related illnesses after an initial diagnosis and or admission. So this is very real. It worries me that much of our community still does not appreciate the impact that this can have. We need to try and limit the spread as much as possible, and therefore all the efforts that our public health officials are trying to implore on us, we must do. And that includes masking at all times, all of the governor's, what's been outlined in the governor's proposal is extremely important. So it's first and foremost, it's that social distancing, hand washing, mask when interacting with anybody then other than your immediate family members that you have put within your social circle, your family circle, I should say.
I know the initial onset of the pandemic, it was most noticeable in assisted care, living facilities, nursing homes, among older people. Is that still the case, or are you seeing a shift now?
We've definitely seen the shift, but all of those facilities have done a great job trying to contain and keep patients safe. But unfortunately, as we've learned with this virus, despite our best efforts to keep the virus out of facilities, we are absolutely seeing facilities that struggle with outbreaks of COVID.
Do you think with the promise of a vaccine, at least by a couple of manufacturers talking about it now, that this time next year may look a little better?
I hope so. This time next year may be the right time. It's going to be, I look forward to getting back with you to try and convey the importance of all of us getting vaccinated when the vaccine is available, so that again we can limit the spread of this and get all of us back to a sense of normalcy in our lives. But that's going to be dependent on continuing our efforts of masking and limiting the spread now, and then when the virus is available, getting the vaccine. Obviously, we all need to have trust in the system that the vaccine that will be released is going to be safe and effective. And all indications are that that's the case. And we're very pleased to see the latest research that does talk about effectiveness. And I think all of us in the scientific community, healthcare community, are comforted by the process of which our vaccines are being evaluated. To the point that we also, in asking physicians, the general sentiment is this will be safe when it is released, and it's going to be important for all of us to get vaccinated.
Probably nobody that sees it better firsthand on the ground, really, is the director of your emergency services, Eugene Duffy. As a paramedic, Mr. Duffy, I'm sure that you were certainly on the front lines of this pandemic, right into people's homes.
Yeah, absolutely. We kind of were at the tip of the spear when it comes to COVID. I think my public service announcement to people would be when you do have a need to dial 911, that the questions that the dispatch centers ask get answered truthfully, and a lot of those are related to fever and flu-like symptoms. And so it's essential and extremely important for us to get that information before we arrive at any patient's home, so that we can prepare ourselves from a PPE perspective and also to keep our patients safe. So yes, our world has changed a lot. It's a lot different than how it used to be, but everybody in the whole EMS community in the entire South Shore are prepared and have all the appropriate equipment to take care of patients.
Have you yourself or any of your colleagues experienced COVID firsthand?
Yeah, unfortunately we have. And like most places, we feel that a lot of our paramedics and providers, the exposure probably doesn't happen here at work because we have all the appropriate personal protective equipment. It's a standard for us to be masked and everything else while at work. A lot of the exposures we find after surveillance happen outside of work. And I think that's kind of a key point to make for all the viewers, in that when you are masked, you're protected. When you're not, you're not.
And I know that I've read recent research that when you're masked, you're not only protecting folks around you, but possibly yourself in some degree as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that that latest study and the educational campaign by the CDC, I think, is affirming what most of us believed and thought all along. But it's, again, it is affirming to see that masks do provide protection not only to those who are around you, but to you personally. And Eugene makes a great point. Our whole system, we're many, 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 many months into this as a healthcare system, and all of us in healthcare. So of things that are different now than when we started, we know a lot more about COVID, and therefore we know how to protect our staff, and therefore we know how to provide safe care, whether it's 911, whether it's in the emergency department, whether it's in urgent care. And also for the team right now, we do home visits for people with COVID illness. So we, at the point now, there are patients we've treated well over 100 patients in the home with their COVID condition rather than having to spend time in the hospital. And so the same team that sees you should you need 911, Eugene's team is the one that will see them in the home, doing a televisit with our providers, the same providers that go through urgent care in the emergency department will do a televisit. And then there's our physician colleagues, Dr. Tollefson and team, who provide the physician oversight for that service.
Yes, is this the mobile integrated health unit that you're speaking of?
Correct.
Right. It's, I'm sure, advanced tremendously. It's not new. I know I'm familiar with it from many years ago, but it was kind of rudimentary. I'm sure it's much more sophisticated now.
Yeah, it's been an interesting journey for us. We have been talking about mobile integrated health for many years. We're one of the few hospitals that has a very robust hospital-based emergency medical services program. And so it was a natural fit for us to add mobile integrated health into our program. There had been the development of a program through the state and a process of which you apply to become a mobile integrated health program. That went live the end of last year, and we were slated to have a soft launch of the program the beginning of this year. And Dr. Tollefson and Mr. Duffy were thrust into it no longer being a soft launch during the pandemic. And at this point, we've seen thousands of patients across our system in the mobile integrated health program. And for COVID specifically, many that have been discharged from the hospital to continue their treatment at home, along with many other conditions. So it's really transformed the way our traditional EMS services deliver care in a new way.
Yes, yeah. So many folks I've talked to during this pandemic have said, well, we're trying to build a plane while we're flying it. And you know, I thought it was a great way to sum it up. But Mr. Duffy, did this require specialized training for paramedics for the mobile integrated health program?
Yes, absolutely. You know, this is like you said, this is not a unique program. It is pretty novel in Massachusetts, but it is used across the country. And the paramedics that are selected for this role, it's a pretty unique person. You know, paramedics are usually trained for that emergent 10-15 minute time frame with a patient on an emergency level. It takes a different type of paramedic to kind of perform mobile integrated health where you may have longer periods of time with a patient. So we chose very experienced people with a particular type of personality, which is the first and foremost kind of criteria. And then through a process with our medical directors, Dr. Tollefson and Dr. Lanuti, they developed a 300 plus hour education program, which was clinical internships or clerkships with some classroom didactic portions of their education. And they did those over the last couple of months and ultimately went live beginning of March. So just right before COVID happened, we were ready to go. So We started out with three paramedics. We're now up to 10 within the space of the pandemic. So it has grown immensely.
And how is it determined when to bring mobile integrated health out into the field? You know, how do you make that assessment as to who should receive that kind of care?
Yeah, so many of the patients that we see are referred to the program either from the emergency department itself or from the hospital or health system PCPs or clinics. Essentially, what we're able to do is bring the hospital care with specialty trained paramedics out directly to our patients, to their homes, and we're able to leverage the breadth of knowledge and the strength of an entire health system to care for that patient. So while we might have a patient with a chronic heart condition, we're able to interface directly with that patient's cardiologist. If we have a patient who's got a issue regarding a wound or some other process, they can interface directly with the emergency department clinicians. We can bring antibiotics to the patients. We can bring other medications directly there. We can provide remote imaging, laboratory services. So it's really quite broad about how people get referred. Some people have referred to it as Amazon Prime. You didn't really know you needed it until you got it. There's patients that have access to the health system problems or healthcare in general, or there's various limitations, or quite honestly, there's things that we can do in their home that they don't need to come to the hospital for. And that's the other thing. Not only were we able to care for patients with COVID in their homes, with COVID, we had a surge of kind of a change in mindset of patients who didn't want to come to the health system. But they need care, and they still had chronic issues. And we were quite fearful that things would go missed, or we would not be able to, patients wouldn't come or reach out if there was a problem. And so we were able to use this program to really interface with some patients. We had one patient, I remember at the beginning, who was 97 years old, and she had a wound on her leg that hadn't been looked at in 3 months. And she absolutely wouldn't go to the doctor's office, and she wouldn't even let a VNA, a nurse, come to her house. But she was more than happy to let a paramedic come on in and was able to do a telehealth visit with me over the video and take a look at a wound that looked just beautifully healed. So it was not a unique situation across the South Shore where we were able to intervene and make a difference. So that was a great opportunity, and we were well positioned to take on that role. With a plan to go live in March, we certainly scaled up very quickly, but we were able to do it and make it happen.
Yeah. Do any of you think that post-pandemic, some of this remote technology will continue and maybe even expand?
Absolutely. It's changed the way we are going to deliver healthcare. Again, as Dr. Tolleson said, it is Amazon Prime equivalent. We've used this type of service and this philosophies for so many different components of our healthcare delivery model. And again, the reason that this all fits together is it's that continuum of 911, urgent care, emergency department, post-discharge care. It's that continuum. And it ties in very well with traditional healthcare services. We still have the hospital when you need the hospital. We have VNA that works very closely with us as visiting nurses. But it was a missing component that pandemic. This is the team that's gone out and done 1,000 COVID tests in facilities and communities and homebound individuals who aren't able to make it to Health Express for testing, but need a test. And so this is the team that is able to go out and do mobile testing. Again, we would not have been able to do that otherwise. And so it really has been a very well-received program that is shaping the way that we're going to be delivering care into the future.
Yeah, I was curious, with the closure of the emergency department at the old Quincy Medical Center, are you seeing patients that normally would have gone there to at the Health Express clinic?
Yes and yes.
We are.
Both at the hospital and at Health Express.
Sure, I hate to say competitive because it makes it sound like it's a retail industry. But we've seen other urgent care centers from other healthcare providers open up here in Quincy and in communities across the South Shore. Is there a plan in the future, maybe to all kind of work together in some fashion?
What makes Health Express unique is that you're right. It is a competitive market, so to say, if you want to look at it from that angle. But, the South Shore Health Express is a part of South Shore Health. So despite being a competitive market, so to say, it's that continuum that Dr. Tracy spoke about before, that it is connected and it is a much larger health system. It is just a component of that larger health system. That really works as one.
Sure. I think that's a great point. And back to Dr. Tracy, your point about the fact that COVID has not been spreading throughout healthcare institutions, should give folks, I suppose, comfort to seek care that they normally would and not be afraid. As a dentist said to me, we've been dealing with aerosol infections since the beginning of dentistry. So apparently there's some expertise there that they've got a handle on this.
Absolutely. And I'll follow up on Dr. Tollefson's comments. Quincy's a big city. There's a lot of healthcare needs in a city of that size. And I will say also, as we talk about the different entities that are within Quincy, all of us came together in planning for the Quincy closure and what could we do collectively as a group. For everybody that provides healthcare in that market for the hospitals and the system. So it is everybody rallying around collectively about what and how the service needs for health are delivered in Quincy. So I'm optimistic that despite the closure, the needs will be met for the community.
Could someone use Health Express Urgent Care as their primary care physician?
We're not a primary care. Okay. Urgent care should not supplant the primary care needs. There's a lot that goes on into a relationship with a primary care provider. And for us within urgent care, we would work to find a primary care for a patient to make sure that those needs are met. And for us, we have a presence within Quincy for our primary care. Also, again, with the model and the concept being the same, that it should be the whole continuum of care. That long-standing chronic evaluation and management from a general health and well-being is generally done by a primary care physician. But there's a lot of unmet need for primary care in the state of Massachusetts. And so for many of us, urgent care is an option for that condition that we just can't get into the primary care office, or is not available, or it's something that is needed a little quicker. So that's where we fill that void.
Sure. Mr. Duffy, I was curious, you mentioned you had 10 paramedics currently right now for the mobile integrated health. How many would you like to have?
Well, if the program keeps growing the way it is, I think I'll have 20 pretty soon. We would still like to keep it a small group of highly trained individuals. We've had great success with small numbers of paramedics who are highly trained who see lots of patients. It's kind of like you want to go see a doctor who does a particular type of surgery often. We think of it the same way with mobile integrated health paramedics. We want them to see lots of patients so that they can get lots of experience. So as much as I think the program is going to grow, and it is growing, we would like to keep it a small cohort of highly trained individuals.
Okay, good to know. I would ask, you know, at the outset of the pandemic, we heard a lot about shortages with PPE, with masks, with gowns, with face shields. Are you concerned about that now with apparently the second surge underway?
We're in a much better space, but we're always cautious. I'm very proud of our materials management folks who spent the summer sourcing PPE. It was a challenge. It remains a challenge to get as much as you want, but over this last number of months, we have been able to add what we need for what we believe to be the next phase. But so much of it is going to be dependent on exactly what the volume turns out to be. But right now we're in good shape.
Good to hear. Anything else we'd like to add, gentlemen?
Be safe, please. keep up. We're working very hard to get the message out that helps combat the COVID fatigue and the pandemic fatigue that we're all feeling, every one of us are feeling. But right now is not the time to withdraw. We need to be doubling down on our efforts to keep each other safe and keep our communities and our businesses and our schools and healthcare systems open and operating. So it's all of our personal responsibilities to make sure that we do that.
Dr. Tollefson?
I couldn't echo that any better, the way Jason said it. The you know, the amount of need of our PPE is really up to our community. So we won't run out if our community is able to step up and keep each other safe.
Sure. And Mr. Duffy?
I think my last little comment would be, and I think I already mentioned this one, from an EMS perspective, in that when the 911 system is activated, regardless of where you are, to answer the questions truthfully and honestly, because we do want to try our best to make sure that the patients are protected, but also the first responders that could be responding to your home or emergency. So I would say that would be my PSA.
It's a great one. And it's, again, it goes back to Dr. Tracy's comments about personal responsibility. You know, we again direct folks to your website. It's healthexpressma.org for more information. And in the meantime, gentlemen, I want to thank you all for your time, and also thank you all for your service during this pandemic. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate the opportunity to get the word out. So thank you.
Very welcome.